marked the opening of waterfowl season. And as a duck hunter, I always try to get out on opening day. And so my son Zeke and I got up at dark 30, hitched up the new duck boat that I've been restoring, and headed down for Patterson. We were on the water, set up, first time out in the boat. Two ducks come from my right, kind of from behind us, and I call the shot. We both stand up, one shot rings out, and two ducks fall. Zeke looks at me and goes, "Dad, we both got one." I said, "Dude, I didn't shoot." "Dad, I got two." "Dude." "Yes, you did, but that's not the point of this story. This story is about my old dog that I'm trying to teach new tricks. Goliath is 8, will be 9 in December, and is always hunted from the shore in a blind." So the ducks fall, Goliath's in the boat, and I give him the command to go retrieve, and to my astonishment, the guy flies out of the boat, goes over and picks up the closest duck, which is the one he marked first, then brings it back, and I'm thinking, wow, you can teach an old dog new tricks. I told Zeke, "Look how great he's doing." Zeke's like, "Yeah, we'll see." I'm thinking, "What do you mean we'll see?" So Goliath brings the duck back, and actually he's supposed to then go get the next duck when I send him out after the next one. But he stops, and he sits there next to the boat on some reeds, and he shakes, and he looks at me. And I'm thinking, "Dude, there's two out there." So I give him the command, "Dead bird," and I point him in the right direction. And you know what he does? He yawns. Now I'm thinking, "You're just mocking me." I said, "Goliath, dead bird." And he lays down next to the duck that he already has. You can't always teach an old dog new tricks. This is what today's gospel text is about. The people of God, in a long relationship, Israel, and a new presence, a new grace, a new glory given. The people of God have been in relationship with Yahweh all the way back since Abraham, when God called Abraham to leave his people and establish the people of Israel. And so they, as we can imagine, have pretty much dug in. They know how this relationship with God, their religion, should work. And so when Jesus shows up on the scene in the first century, well, they're quite surprised. But John, also a Jew, begins to unfold here in the prologue of his gospel this new grace given. In verse 14, he reminds the people, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." That's presence. "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son." That's glory. "Who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." That's grace. John is unfolding for them in the person of Jesus, helping their eyes to be able to see and their ears be able to hear, that there's been a new presence of God, there's a new glory of God revealed, and now a new grace that has come in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word is Jesus, of course. Became flesh, he stepped into our world. God himself is now a human person. And He's made his dwelling among us. See, this is Jesus. Remember, the pre-existent and the preeminent creator of all things, heavens, earth, and even things we don't know. And he made his dwelling among us. It might help to know literally that these words mean that the Word pitched his tent or filled the tabernacle. This doesn't have much meaning to us that Jesus came and pitched his tent there among the people of Israel, but it would certainly have meaning to the hearer. As Charles read for us today from Exodus 33 and verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. The tent or the tabernacle, either way, was a place where God met Israel. And it was at one time of the whole year that Moses and then later the high priest could enter into the most holy place. And so when God was among the people, if you remember your Old Testament background, the cloud would be over the tent of meeting or over the tabernacle. And then when God left, the cloud moved and the people of Israel would then go where God led them according to this cloud. So when Jesus is referred to as the one who has now come among the Jews and all people as pitching his tent, it would clue the hearer, wait a minute, this is the place where God meets us. But it's not just a tent anymore that's fabric sides and poles and all the rest. No, the tent is a who. The tent has become flesh. The tent is one of us. And he came from the Father Yahweh, and Jesus was fully God, we remember, so that God would now be present in the person and the work of Jesus. This is a new presence, and this is the presence that we have only known. We haven't known a far off or a distant God, although most world religions preach a God that is far off from us. That's called deism. God is up in his heavens and in his space, and he really has little to do with us people because, heck, he's got bigger things to do, bigger fish to fry, bigger problems. He's running the whole world, for crying out loud. But in Christianity, as believers in the incarnate Jesus, God has come to us in person, and he is present now through the person and work of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been poured out upon us. In Acts chapter 2, do you remember the very early church? Peter, kind of the bumbling, stumbling disciple, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit that's breathed out and poured on the people, and he gives the most eloquent sermon, maybe second to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Wow, God is here, God is near, and God is present. The Word has made his dwelling among us. No longer do we have to pitch a tent or make a tabernacle or find God in the temple. The temple of Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70. Can you imagine the struggle for the Jew today? Where is God? Where is God? They must be crying out. But we know God in the person of Jesus. His presence is among us. Do you sense the presence of Christ here today? You should. He's here. You're welcome to invite him. When you leave today, do you leave Christ here? Well, that's church. That's my religious obligation. And now I go back out into the world by myself. And I have to deal with people at work and people at home and my neighbors. Or do you take Christ with you in the person and work of the Holy Spirit? This is new for Israel. This presence of Christ was new for the world. But this is what we celebrate, especially when we think about Advent. We prepare for the coming of the Lord. When we celebrate Christmas and gather on Christmas Eve, it's all about Jesus' presence among us today. God no longer has a cloud that moves here and there. No longer do we have to look into the sky to find the one who is in the tent. But the new tabernacle is not only in the person of Jesus, but where? In our flesh. The Spirit is among us. We, our bodies, are named the temple of the Holy Spirit. This would be a mind blower for the people of Israel. This may be a mind blower for you today. What? God within me? That is the presence of Christ. And it's a presence that's available to you if you make yourself available to Him. Number two, there's a new glory that's come upon the scene. We have seen His glory, says John. Now, John is an eyewitness to Jesus Christ. He has spent time with Jesus, years in fact, day after day. Can you imagine? I imagine some of the campfires that the disciples have between Galilee and Jerusalem. I wonder what they talk about. Do they talk about normal stuff? Like, the porridge isn't that good today. What do they talk about? Do they talk about, man, my feet really hurt? Or it's time for a new pair of sandals? Or, dude, I really like your tunic. I don't know. This is the everyday glory of God that's before John. And then the miracles. Can you imagine the miracles that John saw in his lifetime? Some of which are recorded in the Gospels. Not all of them, for sure. How about the wedding at Cana? I had the blessing of doing a wedding yesterday. And I thought to myself, wow, Jesus loved weddings. In fact, after all of the wine was served and they ran out of wine, after many, says the scripture, had already had their fill, what does Jesus do? Makes better wine. He makes better wine. It's like the party can't stop. Drink up. Enjoy. This is the glory of God that John has seen with his eyes. But he was crippled, and now he's walking. How's that possible? Or these demons cast out into pigs? Can you imagine him telling that story to his kids? Well, there was this time that Jesus cast out demons into pigs, and then the pigs went into the water. Wow, what a story. The glory of God. We have seen His glory, says John. And this glory, we could not wrap up in just the person of Jesus, but it's the glory of God. It's the witness of Christ and the incarnation. John has gazed on the glory of God here and lived. In Exodus 33, in verses 18 and 19, Moses wanted to see God's glory. He said to God, "Show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." And so Moses, in the day of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was the only one. But Moses didn't even gaze on God's glory, but had to turn his back because God's glory was so immense and so powerful. This is a new day in Jesus. John says, the glory of the one and only Son. And that glory is ours. We've received it. This isn't just God's created this Jesus. This isn't just a good person or a great prophet. This is God Himself. And we've had the gift of gazing upon God's glory. But now, here's where things get a little difficult. So far, the people would be saying, yes, God's presence. We're open to God's presence. Yes, God's glory. We, like Moses, we want to see God's glory. But grace, I think grace for those who followed the law, the Torah, was not a common word. Obligation, yes. Requirement, most certainly. Punishment, atonement, definitely. But grace, well, not so much. But in verses 16 and 17, John gives a revelatory word. Out of His fullness, this is out of the fullness of Christ, out of the glory of God, out of His fullness, we have received grace in place of grace already given. And then he qualifies it. He gives a little bit more that we might understand. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law was given through Moses. But it's interesting here that John calls this law grace. This is a grace that's already been given. Well, the hearer might go, obligation, requirement, law, but grace? How is the law grace? Romans chapter 7 and verses 7 and following. The Apostle Paul says, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. He says, nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. You see, according to John, and I think then spoken by Paul, the law was God's grace to reveal sin. And that is a grace given indeed. We would not know sin apart from the law. And the law stands there for us that we still might live in a right relationship with God and with each other. There are those who would say, well, because of the grace that's given in Jesus Christ, we no longer need to follow the law. Yeah, right. Yeah, not right. The law is given that we might know sin and be in right relationship with God and each other, but only then through the person and the work of Jesus. Given, Jesus is given as God's grace to deal with our sin then. Out of His fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's a new day. It's a glorious day in the kingdom of God. For we have a new presence. For we have a new glory. For we have a new grace at our disposal, at our fingertips. It simply takes us surrendering our own lives that we would take up His. Are you ready for it? Are you inspired? Can you receive it? Because the gift is given. I can imagine John's heart as he writes this gospel, a gospel that I'm sure he preached for years and years and years before he penned it. God is among us. His glory abounds. His grace is ours. Amen. you're able, please stand.